This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Wednesday, a hump day. We have all kinds of stuff to get to this hour. I'm going to get to trust. We're going to have a little chat about trust before we do emails. The trust thing will lead into this. Your Iran emails are going to lead me to that conversation. We'll get to other stuff this hour. Something hilarious happened with a bunch of employees who were trying to protest Starbucks. All that and so much more to come in the second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. But before we get there, before we get to anything else, before we even get to anything fun, I have an obligation to you as a journalist.
It's Journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse, 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 Jesse.
One of the most overused things, statements in politics is speaking truth to power. People love to say that. I speak truth to power. What a fancy, fruity college boy word that is, statement that is anyway. But it is important to expose powerful people when they lie, when they are corrupt. It is important to get that information out there, be they Democrats or Republicans. You know I'm hard on corrupt Republicans too. I am. The Democrat nominee for Senate in Texas is James Tallarico. I know you've probably seen him. You've heard the audio. He's going to try to turn Texas blue. He's that guy who pretends to be a pastor and then proceeds to completely misread the Bible on purpose to people. He's going to burn in hell if he doesn't apologize for that. But either way, that's another story. It's my duty to expose things when he lies. It just is. And he's out there on the campaign trail telling a big lie, and we can't let this stand.
But also, it's, as all of you know, necessary to fight climate change. It is now existential that we try to reduce our meat consumption. And so I am proud to say that our campaign has officially become a non-meat campaign.
Come on. Look, I think we all know that James is consuming meat. All right. What, Chris? Why are you making faces? Don't make faces when I'm making a point here. James is consuming meat every single day. He can lie about this all he wants, but I know a meat consumer when I see
one. But also, it's, as all of you know, necessary to fight climate change. It is now existential that we try to reduce our meat consumption. And so I am proud to say that our campaign has officially become a non-meat campaign.
James has consumed more meat in his life than you can possibly fathom. I guarantee it. You might call him James Meat Eater. In fact, what, Chris? Stop making faces. From now on, he's going to be known as James Meat Eater on this show. What, Chris? What? Who do I think eats more meat, him or Pete Buttigieg? I don't know. I don't understand what you're saying. I don't get what you're saying. Does Pete Buttigieg eat meat? Here's what I do know. James Meat Eater does eat meat. And we're not going to allow these obviously false public statements to just go by without addressing them on the show. James Tallarico consumes meat every single day on his campaign, while he's at home, certainly when he's on vacation in Brazil or whatever. James, what, Chris? James Tallarico consumes a lot of meat, and we're not going to allow these lies to stand. Sorry, James, we're on to you. Jesse, I've been listening to y'all for some time now. I really love the show. You are so insightful. How about that, Chris? and just as knowledgeable as the great and mighty Rush. Let's slow down on that. With that being said, I believe Rush's spirit is within you. Thanks for bringing us wisdom. There's only one Rush Limbaugh. You don't ever get to have another one. Jesse, my ex-son-in-law was an illegal alien who lived in the U.S. for 12 years before marrying my daughter. He had a birth certificate, a fake driver's license with the photo, and a fake Social Security number and card. He had them made at some alleged auto repair shop. What's to prevent illegal aliens from procuring their own fake IDs when they vote? I imagine the commie NGOs are making as many fake IDs as they possibly can. He asked me not to mention his name for obvious reasons, and I won't mention his name. Of course, your secrets are safe with me now and always. Well, let's address this. The voter rolls. I had brought up yesterday, the day before, the voter rolls. Every state has voter rolls. Who's registered to vote? And they have your information. Hey, this guy's Jewish producer, Chris. He's located at 123 Goldstein Avenue. You know, that kind of thing. They know. Chris? It's a fake address. Anyway. So they have the voter rolls. Every state does. China has been trying to hack the voter rolls, of course, because China wants to register people to vote, want to get paper ballots on behalf of other people. But here's what you might not know. There are states, I believe the number is 29 of them. They will not grant the Trump administration access to their voter rolls. They always claim it's some sort of privacy matter, which there's no privacy matter. The federal government is the one who issues the Social Security numbers. There's no privacy matter at all. They have a laundry list of excuses, but there are 29 states in the United States of America that are blocking the Trump administration from accessing their voter rolls. Why? The voter rolls are critical to keep Democrats elected. That's how you get Social Security numbers to illegals. They get dead people's Social Security numbers. This is an industry that is well known in law enforcement circles. It's for illegals. It's for foreign countries. Whoever it is that accesses the voter rolls, they get Democrats elected. It's not an accident that Democrat states are the main states blocking the federal government from accessing the voter rolls. Maybe you heard, do you remember the Trump, was it last year? Yeah, it was last year when Trump first got elected. He got elected and he gave an address to Congress. I think it was the State of the Union, although they might not have officially called it that. And he gave this little snippet about Social Security numbers. And the whole crux of the whole thing was, oh, we have, 10 people who are 200 years old collecting Social Security. Chris is going to find it. Just give him a minute. But until he does, you've heard about this. Social Security people who are, oh, why do I have 150-year-old collecting Social Security? Okay, so what's going on here when that person's clearly dead? Well, what's going on is illegals are the ones gaining access to those Social Security benefits. There are people, undoubtedly government people involved, who are selling Social Security numbers that are essentially now defunct. I don't have a better way to put it or a nicer way to put it. That person got old. That person died. Now the Social Security number that person was issued, now it's just sitting out there.
The Government Accountability Office has estimated annual fraud of over $500 billion in our nation. We're also identifying shocking levels of incompetence and probable fraud in the Social Security program for our seniors. 3.9 million people from ages 130 to 139. 3.5 million people from ages 140 to 149. And money is being paid to many of them. 1.3 million people from ages 150 to 159, and over 130,000 people, according to the Social Security databases, are age over 160 years old. To finish, 1,039 people between the ages of 220 and 229. One person between the age of 240 and 249, and one person is listed at 360 years of age. More than 100 years. More than 100 years older than our country.
What's going on there? Yes, there's Social Security fraud. There's no question about it. But illegals get Social Security numbers. They get Social Security cards. And there are a lot of them. When you have a criminal system where you import criminals and you have elected criminals known as Democrats, inevitably those criminals are going to find each other and work with each other to ensure they can continue to commit crimes. The illegals want to continue to pillage the American taxpayer. Democrats want to continue to get elected. And that's where all this Social Security stuff comes from. All right. We'll set this stuff aside. We'll get back to emails in a few, but someone has an email about Iran, and we're going to talk about trust and something we talked about in the past and something that's going to, it's biting us now and it's going to keep biting us in the future unless the problem is addressed. Before we get to that, there's another problem, and that problem is you taking your personal security seriously. You don't have a bodyguard. You can't afford one. Neither can I. That means that you have to protect yourself. But how can you do that when there are so many violent people in our society? Violent people who've been let out of prison by Democrats? Violent people who've been imported from other countries by Democrats? How can you protect yourself? Berna, even in these blue states with these ridiculous gun laws, can't do this, can't do that, Berna is legal in these states. Berna is legal in all 50 states. Get a Berna launcher. You pull that trigger, it's going to fire out a tear gas ball or a pepper ball or a kinetic round. And it's small. You don't have to stress it. When you're out there for a jog in your little tights, Berna, you can carry a Berna on you confidently. Stop a bad man confidently. You will live. And it's legal. No permit needed. No background check. Go to Byrna.com to learn more. BYRNA. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's get to some of those emails now. Oh, by the way, again, I'm not going to let this go. This is a lie.
But also it's, as all of you know, necessary to fight climate change. It is now existential that we try to reduce our meat consumption. And so I am proud to say that our campaign has officially become a non-meat campaign.
He's eating meat as we speak. I bet you might. What, Chris? I bet he is. Jesse, I've been hearing for almost the last, or for at least the past 25 years, that Iran is months away from having a nuke. Yet it never happens. It reminds me of Michael Corleone in Godfather 2 saying that Hyman Roth has been dying of the same heart attack for the past 25 years. Chris, have you ever seen Godfather 2? Hyman Roth is the Jewish mobster. What? I thought you would like that. Either way, he was actually a play off of Meyer Lansky, who everyone does know, the most powerful Jewish mobster who ever existed. Anyway, I'm not sure why you're not into that, Chris, but we'll move on. Okay, so let's talk about this, because I wanted to talk to you about trust anyway. I've been hearing about Iran's nukes for 25 years. Pause on that for a second. Have you ever dated or married somebody who had a really, really rocky previous relationship of some kind? Most people either have, or at least you've been in proximity of someone who has. Let's say that you married a woman, just hypothetical. You married a woman, and she used to be married to an abusive alcoholic. He would get drunk and beat her. God forbid, pray for those women who go through that, but terrible situation, right? And she lived through that. Last night was St. Patrick's Day. Maybe you were tempted to have a beer. Maybe you went over to the fridge and you grabbed a beer and you cracked that beer. And maybe your wife was aghast at the fact that you cracked a beer. Now, life, as much as we may want it to sometimes, it does not exist in a vacuum. We are all in part products of our past experiences. In a vacuum, Nothing wrong with a man that's sitting at home, being safe, having a beer on St. Paddy's Day. Nothing wrong with that. In a vacuum, there's nothing wrong with that. She looks at that, and because of her past experiences, she is understandably concerned that you went to the fridge and grabbed a beer. Are you wrong for grabbing a beer? No, you're not. But is she wrong for looking because of what she's gone through and saying to herself, uh-oh, is it coming again? Am I going to be stuck in another relationship? Is this how it begins? That's an understandable reaction from her. You grabbing a beer is understandable. You didn't do anything wrong. Her giving you the side eye, understandable. This is what we have to understand about our current situation in America, and it is not at all specific to Iran. It's really not. I warned time and time and time again, and these violations of trust went well before I started warning about them, but I warned time and time and time and time and time again over the past 5, 6, 7 years, as many years as we've been doing this show, that the federal government, the government, and the people, they were separating. That they were supposed to be, remember, a people are supposed to feel linked to their government, and a government is supposed to feel linked to their people. That's how a nation has to be built. Any nation, any form of government, there has to be a link there. And that if there is a separation, it is a national crisis. It's not a small thing. It is a national crisis if people are feeling separated from their government, if people distrust what their government says. That's not some side issue that can be addressed at a later date. That is a civilizational issue, because the country will stop existing if that issue is not fixed. That is a fact. I read you the stat before, and now because I'm stupid, I'm going to forget the exact same numbers, but it's going to be, nevertheless, it's going to hold up. Before Vietnam, the people of the United States of America, I think the number was 77%, it might have even been higher, 77% trusted their government. Think about that. That, because I wasn't alive then, that seems like a completely separate world to me. But if you're an American citizen in the year 1960, yeah, I mean, the government said it. But they're not going to lie to us. Isn't that a ridiculous statement now, even saying that? Think about saying that today. Well, the government said it. They're not going to lie. We can trust it. It came from the government. Today, that's a ridiculous statement, and you just rolled your eyes when I said it. Because today, I think the number is 17%. We don't trust the government. So we went from 77, I believe that was the number, to 17. What happened there? Well, the government lied to us. They started telling huge lies in Vietnam. Lies lead to other lies. So then more lies were necessary to cover up the last lies, and then more lies, and then lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. And here we are in the year 2026, and we don't trust the government. We don't trust them to crack a beer because of what we've been through. We'll continue on this in a moment. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Wednesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So you remember, especially during the COVID era, but it wasn't just COVID at all. But you remember, I warned time and time and time again that the people were fracturing more and more from the federal government. And you remember this. I said, in the future, I don't know what will come. I don't know what will come. But in the future, there is going to come a day when we need that trust. I said it over and over again. You remember if you were listening. And I don't know whether it was going to be an actual pandemic or a war or a something. But there was going to come a day when we needed that trust. We had to have it. And because of the pervasive lies and tyranny during things like COVID, the American people now believe their government lies to them all the time about everything.
You're patient, but our patience is wearing thin. And your refusal has cost all of us.
Their patience was wearing thin with us. Why did the American president feel comfortable saying that? He was having patience problems with us because you weren't taking the Bill Gates vaccine.
But you don't have a choice. People act like you have a choice. People don't feel like going to the stadium when they might get infected. You know, it's not the government who's saying, okay, just ignore this disease. And, you know, people are deeply affected by seeing these deaths, by knowing they could be part of the transmission chain, and you know, old people, their parents, their grandparents could be affected by this. And so you don't, you know, you don't get to say ignore what's going on here. There will be the ability, particularly in rich countries, to open up if things are done well over the next few months. But for the world at large, normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population. And so,
study came out. I believe the number was 1.7 million children. Yeah, large study. The only children who had myocarditis were the ones who took the vaccine. Not a single case of myocarditis with the unvaccinated children. Yet every single level of our healthcare system, of our government, insisted that you had to do it, you had to do it, you had to do it, your kids had to do it, mom had to do it, dad had to do it, you have to do, you have to, you have to. Well, as I warned time and time again, that was yet another thing that was severing the trust between the American people and their government. So back to this guy's email. He says, and I quote, "I've been hearing at least the past 25 years that Iran is months away from having a nuke, yet it never happens. Donald Trump has gone out there multiple times publicly and said they were about to have a nuke, they were about to have a nuke, they were about to have a nuke. He's said it multiple times. Now, let's just say Donald Trump does not have a history of lying to us. Let's say that Donald Trump is right and saw that intelligence. You can agree or disagree. I don't care. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, he has it. He's looking at the proof. It's in his hands. He has the proof. And so he went to the American people and he said, hey, I've seen it. They were about to have a nuke. Well, the trouble is that Donald Trump, the Trump administration, doesn't exist in a vacuum either. Donald Trump has to govern a country that doesn't trust its government. And we're old enough to remember this stuff.
And you can know that our forces will be coming home as soon as their work is done. Our nation enters this conflict reluctantly, yet our purpose is sure. The people of the United States and our friends and allies will not live at the mercy of an outlaw regime that threatens the peace with weapons of mass murder.
Donald Trump doesn't get to have a blank canvas with which to paint on. The same as that spouse whose wife used to be married to an abusive alcoholic. He now has to exist in a world where she has trust issues when it comes to her husband and alcohol. Donald Trump has the exact same problem, the Trump administration right now. It's a problem, and we can't just wish the problem away. And I don't know that there's anything he can do to fix it. What can you do? Lied to for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. And now, like I said, for the sake of argument, let's say he's staring at it. Look, this is the documentation. I have it right here. They're about to have a nuke. We heard that. We heard that many times before. It didn't turn out to be true when it came to things like Iraq. And those lies have a cost. The COVID lies have a cost. The endless government lies were always going to have a cost. They stack up on you. and you pay for them later, or at least someone does. All right, let's move on. Jesse, what's to prevent another country from getting to your nukes first, either from conventional means or clandestine, and makes your nukes inoperable so you can't use them? Like the U.S. has great special forces. They could sneak in after getting knowledge of where the nukes are stored and take them out. We may already know where they're at in North Korea. Okay, so I talked last night about how nuclear weapons are thought of as an offensive weapon. They're actually a defensive weapon. They're tyrant insurance, if you will. You can be the most evil, destructive, abusive regime in the world, but if you have nuclear weapons, you're fairly safe. Why hasn't North Korea, why hasn't that evil regime been taken out by someone yet? They have nuclear weapons. People are afraid. Russia, right now, this Russian-Ukraine nonsense. How many times have you heard a Russian official come out and say, I hope they don't do this. We might have to bring out the nukes. Oh, man, it'd be a shame if we had to pull out a nuke. They know. It's a defensive weapon preventing things. Okay? So, look, don't get too caught up in the movies, okay? And don't get as cool as Venezuela was. Don't fool yourself. Even our special forces, you know, Delta Force and all these types, as bad a dudes as they are not superheroes. They're flesh and blood human beings, and they can't just teleport into any country on the planet and take out their nukes in a secret underground bunker and then teleport back out like super ninjas. That is not how life works at all. North Korea is a gigantic, mountainous place. They probably have their nuclear stockpiles spread in God knows how many underground bunkers, and those are just the ones we know about. It's a secretive regime that'll chop your head off in a heartbeat if they even suspect you're a spy. I'm sure we don't even have the intelligence we would like to have about North Korea. Don't fool yourself that we can just teleport in and get this stuff out. Look, Iran right now, we just brought up Iran. The truth is this. The thinking is that whatever nuclear stuff they had, I shouldn't say arsenal because they didn't have nuclear weapons yet. No one's saying that. Whatever nuclear stuff they had is spread out. And that would be understandable, right? Because they're always being attacked. There's always some operation where they're dropping bombs, or there's some sort of Israeli intelligence operation in there. So what do you do in response to that? Well, you don't gather all your nuclear stuff and put it in one big deep underground bunker. You spread it out throughout the country. You don't put it in one bunker and say, here it is, good luck, because then you end up losing it. It's not an easy thing. Not easy at all. All right, we'll get back to some more of these in a moment. Before we do that, let's do this. Let's talk about getting rid of your pain. Pain sucks. It is soul-crushing. It really is. You don't do all the things you want to do. You don't go for a walk anymore. You don't play golf. You don't play pickleball. Maybe even going to work hurts, or standing up or sitting down, and it sucks. You have to wake up in the morning and wince when you get out of bed. Let Relief Factor give you that part of your life back. That recreational thing you want to do, do it. Relief Factor is there to give you that back, and they do it drug-free. 100% drug-free. Over 8 million people have already tried Relief Factor. Why do you think it's so popular? Why do you think almost 70% call and order more? It's a daily supplement that will get that pain out of your life. Not for a couple hours, permanently. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent, magnificent Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I really love when communists suffer because of their communism. It's a sickness. It's definitely not, it's a sin. Sorry, Lord. But I really take a great deal of pleasure when communists suffer. Seattle Starbucks employees finally ended their strike, but their stores closed and none of them were eligible for transfer. Let's pause for a moment. We'll set the communist stuff aside for a second. We'll come back to New York Governor Kathy Hochul, but let's set the communist stuff aside and let's remember, as long as we're doing life lessons, let's do another one here. Pull up a chair. Let Daddy Jesse talk to you for a second. Okay. Life is unfair. All right. It's unfair. No question about it. Life is unfair. As an employee, you'll spend most of your life probably as an employee, unless you start your own business or something. And I applaud you if you want to do that. But you'll spend most of your life as an employee. I'm an employee. Chris is an employee. Corey's an employee. We work for other people. The suits, if you will. As an employee, whether you're working at Starbucks or as a Jewish producer, you have to make sure your talent outweighs your baggage, you see. And that point ties directly into my second point. And pay attention because this one is so important. If money is your goal in life, and it's on everyone's list. It just depends on where it falls on your list. It's probably not as high on your list as someone like Chris, but you understand what I mean. It's on your list somewhere. If money is your goal, what will determine your income is the scarcity of your marketable skills. Do you have skills that are marketable? I stress marketable skills because if you can balance a spoon on your nose, that's really cool, by the way. I can't do that. But it's not marketable per se. It doesn't bring me value as an employer. So you have marketable skills. That doesn't mean you have to be able to dribble a basketball between your legs. You know, do you work hard, answer the phone, polite, these kind of show up on time. These are marketable skills, valuable skills. They really are. You have marketable skills, right? Good. I'm glad you do. Now, how rare are your skills? Can everyone do it? I keep bringing up Chris. The suits love Chris because Chris busts his butt. Chris is always here. Chris is always working hard. Believe it or not, every radio producer isn't like that. So Chris's skills are marketable, right? And they're scarce. Not every producer has them. People like Corey. I'm kidding. Sorry, Corey. You understand what I mean. The scarcity of your marketable skills. That will determine your income and let your talent outweigh your baggage. So you have this gigantic international corporation known as Starbucks. I don't know if you're a Starbucks person or not, nor do I give a crap. But you are, unless you are Helen Keller, you are aware that there is a Starbucks on every street corner on my freaking life. I think it was in Tucson. Maybe Tucson. Don't take my word on that. I lived in a place one time where there was a Starbucks across the street from another Starbucks. I am not joking. Directly across the street. They're freaking everywhere. They're in airports. They're in the malls. They're in your grocery store. There's a Starbucks everywhere. That is a multi-billion dollar international corporation. So, if you're a barista, there's nothing wrong with being a barista, by the way. Being able to make a coffee and donuts and whatever, lattes and all the other stuff they have in there. Nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, not at all. I'm glad you have a skill. That's a skill. Good. It's a marketable skill. Also good. However, how hard would it be for me, international corporation, Starbucks, to find somebody and train someone to make that latte? How difficult would you say it is? Probably not that difficult, right? So yes, you have a marketable skill, but it's not scarce. It's a marketable skill that you can teach to other people pretty easily. So, if your other buddy, I'm sure he has rings in his face and purple hair and everything else, if he comes to you one day and says, hey, we should go on a strike. We're not going to make these lattes anymore. unless Starbucks gives in to my demands. Maybe you agree with your buddy. Maybe his demands are your demands. And you were all in on that. Yeah, we're going on strike. You have to, in that moment, take an honest assessment of yourself, your skills, and how scarce those skills are. If they're pretty common skills, then your strike is not going to be effective. Remember when we had that the Longshoremen Union? Remember when they threatened to go on strike? I think they even did briefly go on strike. They threatened to go on strike. And they ended up getting a lot of their demands met when they went on strike. Do you know why? Because that is a rare skill set that is critical for a country, thus giving that union, and I know we have some longshoremen listening, appreciate you guys, that gives that union and the members of that union power. You may not like that they have that power, totally get that at all, but that gives them power because not everyone can do it. Remember these two critical lessons. The money you make will be determined by the scarcity of your marketable skills, and tying in directly to that, make sure your talent outweighs your baggage. You have baggage. I have baggage. I'm a jerk. Everybody has some sort of baggage of some kind. Everybody does, because we human beings are flawed and sinful. That's fine. Just make sure your talent outweighs it, or you're going to be poor, out of a job, and probably end up voting Democrat. Now that we had that talk, do you want to take a moment with me and laugh at Kathy Hochul? I think we should take a moment. I think we should pause on our regularly scheduled programming, and I think we should laugh at Kathy Hochul, don't you? Let's do that next.